Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Dad Podcast, where on the weekends we do a deeper dive at how to get better at our most important job, being a parent. Sometimes in these episodes, I talk to best-selling authors and elite performers and other guests. But lately, I've also been having conversations with my wife, Samantha, the co-parent of my two boys. And we do it over in the Daily Stoic studio here in Bastrop, Texas. And she and I talk about things that we're working on as parents, things that we're working on as people, and how we are supporting each other, challenging each other, and like I said, trying to get better at what we do. Guest or not, I hope you hear some ideas here that will help make you a better parent. I was better for having the conversation. I hope you enjoy. In the morning when I make breakfast for my kids, I put I put the little fruit on their plate, the protein on their plate, the crunchy stuff on their plate. And then what do I put on there also? I put a Hiya super-powered chewable children's vitamin. It's pediatrician approved. They like it. And it fills common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste they love. The sad reality is a lot of kids' vitamins are filled with sugar and unhealthy chemicals and other gummy junk that your kids shouldn't eat, especially under the guise of something that's supposed to be healthy. Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk. Hiya tastes great, and it's perfect for picky eaters. It's designed for kids of all ages and sent straight to your door, so parents have one less thing to worry about. They come in the packets each month. You put it in this cool glass bottle. And we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/dailydad. It's not available on the regular website, so you have to go to hiyahealth.com/dailydad, hiyahealth.com/dailydad, and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. So one of the things I was thinking about was this advice we got, this sort of thing we're consciously working on, which is kind of catching how often your interactions with your kid are negative. And to take the time to consciously and deliberately catch them doing positive things and to play back to them the positive things that you're seeing them do, which I think we are already doing, but we've made a much more conscious effort to do it. I don't know if it's making a difference for our kids, but weirdly, I feel like it's making a difference for me.
I feel like we've consistently raised our kids that way, where we try, or when we can tell that when we're like pulling away from that and really focusing on like the negative or correcting or like asking directly for things to happen, we notice like it's a slippery slope with behavior. And once behavior is like at a point where we're like not managing it well, then if we are diligent about getting back on like being positive, like positivity first, consistently, there's like a little bit of a backlash where like our kids test the boundaries of it to see if they can make it go away. They're like, this isn't real. Like our parents are not acting this way towards
us. You're being fake or weird or something.
But I think for us, the thing that's really helped us be more consistent about it is we're trying to do it across the board. We're trying to do it with each other.
Yeah. But I think with the kid side of things, it's realizing that, okay, if only negative things get serious reactions from you, and that's really the only way to get attention or recognition or to be the center of things, you're basically sending the opposite message that you want to send as a parent. Like you think you're sending a message where it's like behave, you know, be a non-maniac crazy person, but you're actually telling your kids like, no, that's how you get noticed, is to like cause problems, screw up, mess around, hurt people. So you're creating a feedback loop that you really don't want to be in.
Right. The negative attention is a lot bigger and has a lot more emotion and has a lot more like intensity from us to them. And so it is like, and I don't know if all kids are that way or if it's just our kids. I don't even know if both of our kids that way, but they're like, we get the most attention and we get the biggest reaction from like when it's like us getting in trouble. So like, that's what we want. It's like a drug and they're going to go for that.
I think that's right. So even if you're a parent and you go, I don't like nag my kids, I'm not super negative, We have plenty of positive interactions. What you're probably not noticing is that there's a huge difference between how you sort of understatedly acknowledge, like, hey, good job. And then you're like, what are you doing? You know, like, so negative is super high valence. And then your positive interactions are pretty like low key.
Neutral. Yeah.
So yeah. So it's not just, hey, I'm going to do more. I'm going to have some more positive things, but actually stopping and looking and going like, what is really like lighting me up as a parent? Like, what are the big intense interactions I'm having with my kid? Am I having big, intense, positive, like affirmative exchanges with them? Or is that level almost entirely reserved for me getting upset, correcting, being disappointed, being anxious, like all the negative emotions? So you're basically teaching your kid to really get engaged with my parents. I have to break rules or do things that I shouldn't do.
Well, think about just an interaction, like let's say with our kids, with us in the household. If our kids are trying to get our attention, yeah, and we're like preoccupied with something else.
Like this?
Our phones, yeah. Then the first thing that they're going to do is one of our kids is going to punch the other child, because then they'll be crying and then you will have their full attention.
Brings you back.
Yeah. They have your full attention. You are giving 100% of your energy to that situation. And I think like in our house, there's like a lot of like the instinct, I think, not the instinct, but I think what like the learned behavior as a parent is to be like, okay, you did something wrong. I'm giving you attention for that. But something that we've noticed is the most effective in our house is like, if that happens, like one, we recognize that we are responsible for that in some capacity, right? And we could have like nipped it by like being
They asked you nicely a bunch of times for your attention and you didn't give it to them. And so they had to throw up a emergency flare.
But it's not just that you didn't give it to them. You didn't tell, like, I think if you set those constraints, it's like you're like asking people to be 100% engaged and present with their children all the time, which is just not.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No, instead it's like you recognize that they're trying to get your attention, and just like you would with anybody, to be polite, you'd be like, I can't give you my full attention right now. I'm doing this, but like, you're doing a fantastic job playing with your brother right now. And then you are off the hook. You've acknowledged them and then move on. But like, I think that the next step in that for us is like, okay, let's say it escalates and there is fighting and screaming or whatever. Instead of feeding that, we're calm.
It's like, yeah, your dog barks and you're like, hey, hey, hey. So you're doing the human version of barking.
Yeah, you're just adding to the anxiety and the barking.
Speaking of attention, what are you drawing over there?
You get mad at me for fidgeting so much. And so I just brought my own.
You just decided it was totally normal to get out a notebook and start doodling in the middle of a car.
Yes.
That's so insane.
Hey, that's the opposite of what we're talking about here. It's supposed to celebrate me, not be negative. Yes. Can I help you with something?
Put it in the center of the head.
I could put it here. I thought you'd be mad at me. And I also thought my pen would make a loud noise.
It would. It could. These are very sensitive mics.
Hey,
they're still picking up the drawing.
If you want me to pay attention to this conversation, half of my brain needs to be occupied with something else. Otherwise, I'm going to start reading books on the wall. I'm going to start planning out my day. I don't need your sass.
No. But it's just, I think it's very easy to lapse into a pattern where the vast majority of your interactions with your kids are negative. And weirdly, like, even when I think back to my own childhood, like, that's like, it's, I'm sure I had many positive interactions with my family, but I just have a vague memory of just like, that's what stands out to me is, it's not like some singular blow up moment, but just like a lot of like correction and disappointment and reprimands. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you're creating the tone or the vibe of what they're going to remember as the cumulative sense of their childhood.
So something that I try to think about all the time is that we're trying to raise like well-balanced, great adults.
You said you were not trying, you said this, if you're forgetting the language.
I do, yeah, yeah. I actually you, just...
mansplaining back to it, but I could tell you forgot. You said, we're trying to raise well-adjusted children, not well-behaved children.
No, well-adjusted adults, not well-behaved children.
Yes, sure. You're trying, yes, you're trying to...
You're quoting me back to myself.
You're trying to raise well-adjusted adults, not well-behaved children.
Yes, and that's like a really hard line to walk, but I try to think about the interactions that I have with the kids when things have escalated and I'm trying to de-escalate it or anything, where like if I'm having a conversation and I'm in this situation with another adult, like how would I do so respectfully, and how do I want to model that behavior so my kids see how these things are handled in real time and they internalize it and they're confident with the way that they handle these situations, instead of when behavior escalates and you're like threatening them, you're like trying to maintain some balance in that way, discipline them in a, I don't know, discipline is a weird, because like discipline does exist, but like outside of the context.
No, I get it. You can make a kid who's very well-behaved, but the bill for that comes due later on when they're not well-adjusted because they feel crappy about themselves. They don't, you know, they suppress things or they're scared of you or, you know, whatever. You're what's more important to you, that they're quiet, you know, in a movie theater now, or that, you know, you have a relationship 20 years from now?
I mean, I really like my kids to be quiet in a movie theater now, but... I think, like, I don't think that there's, like, a right way to parent all children. And I don't, this is probably something that might be particular to us or our type of children. And I just know that, like, for you, no matter how much you were disciplined, not, discipline is such not the right word to use, but, like, no matter how much you were, like, that negativity existed and that type of, like, rigid control existed, you didn't behave.
Right.
It was almost like a spark under your ass to like do worse things. It was almost like, I see the boundary. And I was that way. I was like, I see the boundaries of my expected behavior and I'm going to figure out how to work around those boundaries to do what I want anyway, instead of like having the relationship and figuring out where I wanted to get. So what you just had was like resentment and fear, or rather than like, understanding of the constraints or boundaries or whatever.
Well, we had this thing the other night where I was doing that talk at the library and you noticed that the kids were crazy. But you noticed that Clark wanted to watch and participate, but then he couldn't. And I thought that was a very interesting way to think about it, because normally you would just be focused on, hey, you're not behaving the way that you're supposed to be behaving, or you're not doing or getting the thing that you want.
Right.
But to go, oh, I can see how there's two parts of you in this moment and they're in conflict with each other. And I'm only seeing the not so good part. And I think that's where Dr. Becky's advice goes. If you're starting from the premise of like, oh, this person wants to behave and wants to be capable of a thing that they're not capable of. It's like, you know, you're trying to get your kids to read something and they're not reading it. You could be like, do this thing, or you could go, oh no, this is hard for them, or they're tired. You can see that there's two parts of them in conflict with each other.
Right. Like I can have the empathy. I can want him to behave. I can set the constraints. I can have the conversations with him. But I can also have the empathy to understand that he's like had a really challenging day. He's like didn't sleep great the night before. It's uncomfortable for him because he knows that he's like
being watched.
He's probably picking up on my energy, which is that it's uncomfortable for me. And he's trying to navigate having a child, his brother, like egg him on in every sense of the word. And like there's behaviors that are appropriate for a 4-year-old that like, that's different. But I think I can hold those two thoughts in my head at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, I just have to check my own frustration.
But you have to be rooted in the latter one, which is like that this person is good and is doing their best.
And whatever situation we're in is probably harder for him than it is for me.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the thing about they're not giving you a hard time, they're having a hard time?
Sounds about right.
Well, let you get back to your drawing.
Hey, you're listening to the Daily Dad Podcast, one meditation a day inspired to help you do your most important job, which is be a great father. These are meditations inspired by ancient wisdom, psychological research, and just great strategies from normal dads just like you. Thanks for listening.